Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
As you know, we're in this series on forgiveness, how to be forgiven, how to forgive. And it was really important to me to not just leave us with the challenge of words and not really knowing what to do about them, because it can be a really heavy burden to be called to forgive. And part of what we can do as a community is to help each other, is to pray with each other, to talk with each other, to provide moments where people can work through these issues of forgiveness. And they are issues. Even just this week, I was asked, oh, what are you doing this weekend? Going to be in church and we're talking about forgiveness. Do I have to forgive everyone? Was the person's immediate question. And thankfully this was at the dentist, and so they then put their hands in my mouth and I really couldn't give all the nuance of the answer. But I think that's the question. The work of forgiveness can be much easier said than done. And we often want to know, well, what if the person isn't sorry? What if they're likely to do it again? What if there's no opportunity to really restore the relationship because the trauma and pain and hurt and wrong has been so great? Do I have to forgive? Well, Tim Keller, in his book, Forgive, talks about forgiveness having two parts. Forgiveness has an internal and personal work to free yourself from holding a wrong against someone. And forgiveness also can have an external and interpersonal work to restore a relationship, to reconcile with someone who repents. So in the scriptures, it's used. Forgiveness is used in both ways. Granting forgiveness is used in both ways when someone comes to you and repents, or when you confront someone or rebuke someone and they repent, but also forgiving those who do not say sorry. Our reading today from Luke chapter 6 said, "Do good to those who hate you. Love your enemies. Be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful." The internal and personal work to free yourself from holding a wrong against someone is always necessary in the process of forgiveness, but the second won't always be possible. So today we want to talk about that internal personal work and how we might approach it when it seems really hard. Our conviction is that forgiveness is a key to freedom as a child of God. Now, Beck is here as someone who has been part of Deep Creek for far longer than me, and since she was about 25, which is just a few years. And Beck has been involved in all kinds of ministries here. But particularly, I asked Beck to come and share today because she's been involved in prayer ministry to help people find freedom in their life, in their relationship with Christ, and forgiveness is always a big part of that. Can you just launch straight in? Tell us why you think that forgiveness is a key to freedom as a child of God.
Sure, we'll start with a nice easy one. Hi, church. I think when you look at the scripture and you look at God's story, there is forgiveness that's wedded all throughout scripture. And so as difficult as it is, I think Jesus calls us to a lifestyle of forgiving. And what I've seen in those spaces when I've had the privilege to pray with people is that often that beginning point of sorting out forgiveness does bring freedom for the person. When I talk about freedom, it's a spiritual freedom in a connection with God, restoring what it is to be a child with God. And I think Yet time and time again, you see Jesus calling us into his forgiveness. And I think as his followers, that is a pattern of our faith.
One of the things that I was reflecting on is that Jesus keeps connecting forgiveness with the kind of standard religious practices or spiritual practices of his day and ours. There it goes. So, for example, in the Lord's Prayer, he says, well, Lord, forgive us as we forgive others. And at the end of the Lord's Prayer, he also says, if you do not forgive, then you won't experience God's forgiveness. When he's talking about worship, people coming to bring an offering to the altar, he says, well, if someone has something against you, but you're about to participate in worship, pause, stop, and deal with that broken relationship. So I think it's fascinating that not only does Jesus speak so much about it, but also he connects it to what it means to be a spiritual or religious person connecting with God in prayer and in worship. Well, today Beck has provided for us one of the structures that she might use in helping someone to work through forgiveness. And so, Beck, do you want to tell us what we've got in our hands, this forgiveness cross?
I should probably preface this with, this is not my idea. This is a combination of a whole series of people, so should have probably put that somewhere in the space.
It's better to be right than original, I always say.
But this is what we refer to as the forgiveness cross, and it's just a symbol to help us think through areas of our life that we might actually need to think about forgiveness. So the first one, and probably the key one, is our vertical relationship with God. There is some stuff that we need to, sort out with God, asking for forgiveness for the things that have happened in our lives, and maybe releasing God from the judgments that we've made as a result of being hurt. And that primarily is that vertical structure that we want to try and continue to be a clear avenue between us and God as a child of God. The horizontal one, I'm loving that I nailed both of those words. The horizontal one is our relationship with others. The reality is we live in a broken world with broken people and we hurt each other. And so making right our relationship with one another is important. And probably the main area that we're aware of when it comes to forgiveness can stand out really quickly who we might actually have been hurt by. The circle is actually referring to forgiving yourself. And we'll delve into that a little bit later.
So the first point, and we have them written out for you if you've got your right glasses on because they're pretty small. The first is talking to God about his forgiveness. So asking God to forgive us, recognizing that the power of forgiveness comes from him. But my question to you, Beck, is how much time do I need to spend on this part? Because, am I really seeking to list everything? I feel like I could be here for a while. Tell me about the priority here.
Yeah, sometimes people are very aware of what they need to be forgiven for, and sometimes you might not be aware at all. I think it's important to know that God will only bring to mind the things that he wants to deal with. God's a very gracious and gentle God and will work through with us forgiveness in his timing through his strength. So although you could probably list a whole lot of things, God will probably draw your attention to one or two things that you might need to start working with. And through that, he might reveal more later on. But don't take this as a point of condemnation of yourself, working through gently and slowly with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that gives you an answer to your question. But
no, I think so, because really we don't want to feel like we have to get everything perfect before we move to step number two, because it's really step number two that all of us hold back from. And we need to be discerning. You may have someone, you know, in mind that this is about, but you might be spending that time asking God, who and what. Show me who I need to forgive. Lord, I choose to forgive. And this could be quick, but this could be a really long thing. Beck, do you think it's useful to go into detail about what it is that you need to forgive for that person or whatever's come to mind?
You can, but you don't have to. I think Lord, Jesus is Lord over all. He understands. But I think sometimes, particularly if you've been really hurt, and a lot of people have been very, very hurt by others, sometimes you don't have to go into all of the detail. Sometimes actually just bringing what you can to God at that time is okay.
Yeah, thank you. Step number three, I think it's number three, yep, is asking for forgiveness for my response. Now, really the work of forgiveness in number two may be the thing that takes a really long time. And being willing to choose to forgive. But I've found in my experience of prayer ministry that this third point has always really stuck in my throat because it's easy for us to understand the role of victim and perpetrator, but it's hard for us to admit that we ourselves are not simply the virtuous victim, but sometimes in holding on to certain responses, certain bitterness, maybe even trying to make life a bit more difficult for that person that has hurt us, we have also fallen short of God's holiness. And I know that when I've been encouraged to forgive, this step, this is you being able to analyse me in my pride, this step has been really hard to say, I'm sorry for holding on to this. I'm sorry for expressing a wrong response to this. Is number three always necessary, Beck?
I think when someone hurts us, it's really normal to have a human response of being in pain. But I think sometimes what I've seen is that pain, as humans, we try and work out how to protect ourselves from that. And it means that we might form these judgments. It's hard when we're in pain to think beyond ourselves, that we could actually be holding things that aren't necessarily what God wants. And at the same time, it's also a little bit normal. And so I'd say, yeah, yes, this step is important because it's a space for you to be able to also deal with the pain that you have endured through whatever the circumstance is.
Before we move on to number four, sitting in the space of two and three, do you feel or have you had experience that there's ever someone that you, it's too far, that someone's come to you for prayer ministry or even in your own life or considering the world, that there are people that are beyond our forgiveness, beyond this work?
I think what I've seen is too far can be our perception. I think God is very gracious in what he brings to our attention that we need to deal with, but he does call us to a lifestyle of forgiveness. I think I've had lots of different experiences. One of those was in Cambodia, and during that time I got to speak with some people who were under the Khmer Rouge. I don't know if you're aware of what happened, but they suffered a genocide over there. And to see people be able to forgive and the radical impact of that forgiveness is massive. But it was very hard, and it's not easy. But I think in these spaces, asking people for forgiveness can change. In my own life, asking forgiveness radically healed me of hay fever. Now, I used to get it really debilitating. I used to be the person that just nose would run, tears would run anytime I was around any pollen or anything. And through forgiveness, that Jesus actually brought some physical healing.
Well, tell us about that process, because this is kind of sitting in the step two, step three space for you, and then moving toward the healing, which we'll come back to again later. So you experience freedom, but what was the process of forgiveness for you?
Yeah, so I was at an event, and I, you know, we were just called up the front and had someone pray with me. But through that, the Holy Spirit really prompted me to ask for forgiveness of a leader who was in my life. I didn't go to the event anticipating that would happen, as the case a lot of times with me and God. But through that, I actually was able to forgive this leader for the way, for some pain that was caused. And as a consequence of that, the Holy Spirit brought freedom from that physical debilitating hay fever that I had. That's not everyone's experience, that physical healing. That was just my experience in that moment.
But you had to do some kind of articulating of the need to forgive that person before any kind of freedom was experienced in that.
Yeah, event. So it was because of that articulation that the freedom had come. Now, God doesn't work in structures and rules, so it's important just to qualify that. But the pattern and the sequence does seem to be dealing with forgiveness can release other things in our lives.
Step number four, forgiving yourself, which we've shown as the circle around the cross, the horizontal and vertical aspect of forgiveness. It can sound a bit self-help, you know, or you forgive yourself, or you need to have self-love and self-compassion, and actually all those things are really good, but it kind of sits outside of our understanding of what, you know, Christianity and a spiritual kind of life is. Forgiving ourselves, am I letting myself off the hook? Tell me about this part in the process.
I kind of think of this more like just putting it down, or not necessarily. So we framed it in forgiving yourself, but it's really pushing into the fact that if Jesus has forgiven you, you can forgive yourself. What he did on the cross was enough. We need to ask ourselves, why are we holding on to it if Jesus has actually released us from whatever it is? And it's important not to go down sort of this grace abuse cycle, that you're not holding yourself accountable for the patterns and behaviours of your life. But actually, it's okay that if you have asked forgiveness of God and brought it to him, that you can release yourself from that. We hold things sometimes to punish ourselves. We hold things sometimes out of self-judgment or out of guilt, that we want to make sure that we continue to know that we were in the wrong. And I think John 10:10, it talks about Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. We have to trust that actually he does want that for us.
And I think you've listed there that sometimes there can be a wrong accusing of oneself in a scenario of wrong being perpetrated against you. Sometimes we say, if only I'd done this, if only I'd been able to, then it wouldn't have. And so those things kind of sit in this step as well, releasing yourself. Releasing God from judgments. Well, if forgiving yourself seemed a bit bizarre, forgiving God seems even harder, because God being perfect, how could there be anything to forgive? What do we mean by this step?
It kind of connects with the third step. When we are in pain, we can sometimes hold judgments against God. They can look like, you weren't there for me, God. Why did you let this happen? That kind of thinking that we can actually attribute to God. It does feel weird to say forgiving God. That's why I probably phrased it in the releasing the judgments that you have against God and admitting those things. But it can shape how our faith journey looks if we hold on to those judgments. An extreme version is that you actually form and hold on to the lies about God's character and who God's character is. So it's an important step to make sure you have right relationship with God.
I've definitely experienced the way that people have acted, particularly people in the church, because they sort of represent God to you, as clouding or shaping how I've thought about God. And I recall one time when it wasn't even people that I knew personally, but just dialogue that had been happening online, and it was talking about the Word of God, and I felt that I'd kind of got to a point where I resented God for his word because it was causing so much conflict and pain. And so part of forgiving the people who had been saying all this stuff was actually working through that as well, how it had affected my view of God and our relationship.
And I guess all of these things help us just continue to have that father-child relationship with God. We want to remove those blockers like judgments and pain and actually be able to have that right relationship with God.
Mm. We said earlier that it is possible to forgive without someone having said sorry or repented. And in fact, there may be people who have actually passed away that there is no way to restore or kind of bring reconciliation to that relationship. But this step reminds us that actually part of the reason Jesus calls us to live a lifestyle of mercy and forgiveness is for our own freedom, our own healing. And so even if the other person can never know of this, healing can come from it. You talked about your own physical healing. In your experience of sharing prayer ministry with others, which has included helping them to forgive, what sort of healing have you seen?
Yeah, mine's probably an extreme example. Majority of them isn't necessarily physical healing. It's probably more emotional healing, healing of the wounds of our heart, healing the wounds of our minds, and allowing the Holy Spirit wants to do that. And so that's what people experience in this space. And it does come out of a sense of peace for that person. I think when we hold on to unforgiveness sometimes, there's a real internal wrestle. And the experience of healing for a lot of people in this space through prayer ministry is a real peace that comes.
Are we seeking to do this work of forgiveness just for our own healing?
I think, like lots of things in God's kingdom, the good thing, the God thing, the honouring holy thing, actually, as a consequence of that action, brings goodness in our lives. Mm. I think it allows God's goodness to flow in our lives, not from necessarily a self-motivation, but believing that actually you are a child of God and you deserve what God wants to give you, that's yours to claim as well. So I think part of it is too, as a child of God, we can step into that healing and forgiveness.
Because I think you might imagine that an event like yours is this kind of one and done and you've experienced healing. But when we're talking about people who might be close to us, particularly family members who are in our lives, who continue the same patterns of behaviour, who our communication might be, you know, constantly sort of triggering to use that common word today. It can feel hard to experience that sense of healing. And so I guess why I asked that was to say it can be a work that goes on for quite some time and you don't always feel that sense of release because the person, you know, it keeps going. It happens. The way you talk with that person keeps going. And it may be that something can be changed, but it might not be.
What I've experienced, particularly people who have had real pain with others, is it may not be a release, but it might just be a small frame shift to engage in the next kind of interaction with that person. So it's not necessarily a complete release, but it just... that the Holy Spirit allows you to be able to engage with that person better, if it particularly the ones that I'm thinking of in a family situation, it just allows you to maybe reframe or even do you receive the pain anymore?
Well, this last point I think flows on from that you can be moved into a place where you can want the good for someone else, that you can bless those who hurt you. I know that in my experience in prayer ministry, looking at forgiveness, the most powerful words were the kind of concluding words of, I release them from my judgment and I extend to them a blessing. Do you think that this is a core part of what we're doing? Why are we blessing someone?
I think it's a bit of a litmus test if you've actually forgiven someone. If you can bless them, it means that you're wanting all of God's riches for them. Tricky part of this, though, is in the statement that you made, Megan, that we release them from our judgment as well. It's hard sometimes. We might bless someone. And that means that they live out all of the goodness of God's glory for them in their lives, but they also might have to seek the consequences of that interaction. And so we've released them from our judgment, we have forgiven them, but they may be held accountable in other ways.
And I think we would say that blessing someone, releasing them from our judgment and extending to them a blessing doesn't mean not holding them accountable to legal or kind of justice. You know, if there's been abuse, if there's trauma in a family and there are right ways for that to be dealt with the law, that this process doesn't at all prevent that from happening. Yeah.
And I think in community, this is the step that doesn't make sense to the world. If you think about a community that is living a forgiving lifestyle, that says, even though you have caused me so much pain, I can get to a point that I bless you, has some radical witness opportunities to the rest of the world, because they don't understand how you can do that, how you can actually forgive. And as humans, we can't. It's only through God's strength and power that we can come to this point and through his healing. But it witnesses to God's kingdom glory if we can move to this point.
Well, I appreciated that at the end of this, there was a commitment to a forgiveness lifestyle, because I suspect you've worked out from our conversation so far that this may not be a one and done situation. That just, you know, signing up for something, going along, saying some words and then leaving means that you've been able to do that.
Sometimes it is.
Yes, absolutely.
God's glory and his grace means that sometimes it is just a very moment in time. Other times, for people who have been deeply hurt, it's a progression through his grace and revelation.
When I think about... my own experiences, I think of a combination of these things, sort of knowing that you're called to live a forgiveness lifestyle, and a leader in my own life as well, which is a sobering thought for us who are leaders, hurt me, and it took me a long time of just kind of knowing that this was something that I would need to do. But it wasn't until I was just in worship and I'm sure just sort of opening myself up to God and surrendering to God's work. And he just said, okay, now. And I had an experience of kind of just everything that I was holding against this person just being released from me, kind of pulled out almost. But the relationship itself took another 10 years, I'd say, to restore to kind of easy communication and friendly reconciliation. And we kind of attempted it a few times. Yeah, about 10 years after that, we were talking at an event and he said, I'm sorry that such a little thing got between us. And I was able to say, it wasn't a little thing. And he said, no, it wasn't. I'm sorry. And so this was, you know, like 15 years worth of living a forgiveness lifestyle, but really it was, all right, God, I'm aware that this is what your call is on me. When's the next step going to be? And I'm really, you know, I'm blessed that it was his work. Is this something that people kind of tend to come back and need to do more and more prayer ministry? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so for those who don't know what prayer ministry sort of looks like, it's a bit different to just prayer up the front. It's with a couple of people, probably for a little bit longer period of time, and it's us discerning together what the Holy Spirit is trying to say, and just as brothers and sisters in Christ, praying with you and supporting you in that process. So sometimes for people who have suffered deep pain, God doesn't reveal all of the areas straight away. And so it may be that you journey through prayer ministry with a couple of people, maybe a couple of times. For others, they might come along and have prayer ministry once and that's done.
Is it something that people could do as well by themselves or in a different setting?
Yeah, part of why we wanted to do a little take-home gift, apart from the fact that I'm a teacher who loves a good handout, the reality is it doesn't need anything special. You don't need to have people pray with you necessarily, although I've always experienced that it's encouraging, particularly because I'm a crier and I can't get to a point sometimes in my own strength. I need the Holy Spirit and others to discern with me. But it is, as Megan shared, something that can happen in worship, something that might happen in your living room. It doesn't need to be in a formal prayer ministry setting. But I guess there are just areas that we need to consider with forgiveness as we step through that.
And it may be that people need to kind of do something a little bit more significant to start with and then keeping those short accounts as it goes on.
And I think that is what a forgiveness lifestyle is, having short accounts, keeping yourself in check. Have I been offended by this? Can I keep bringing it back to God quickly rather than letting it fester? When we let things fester, sometimes that's when real deep pain and judgment come.
Well, we wanted to provide today an opportunity just for some extended worship so that with anything that's kind of come up in your mind, on your spirit during our conversation, that this might be an opportunity to start to talk to God about it, maybe just for that moment of, okay, God, you know, if this is going to take 15 years, okay, but I'd like to start now. Knowing that God is far more committed to us being free than we are. So take this time. We've got kind of four or so songs. If you need to go at any point, that's fine. But if you feel, actually, I would like to talk to someone like right now, we are available and there will be others keeping an eye out to see if there's people you can come up the front.
Do you want to mention the email?
I'd love to mention the email, Beck. We've set up a new email, which only Beck and I have access to. And if you would like to explore experiencing that kind of 2-to-1, 3-to-1 prayer ministry, then just drop a line to that email address and we'll start to discern with you what's best, how that can work, how we can support you in that. So we're going to just... I'm going to pray, Beck's going to pray, and we're going to then open up for whatever God wants to do in this time. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who has come to set us free. Lord, that you come to give life and life to the full. And we acknowledge to you that there are things that... even now, even this morning, are chaining us. Lord, we ask that you would, by your merciful Holy Spirit, be working in each heart today. Take us on the next step in our journey of forgiveness, Lord.
Heavenly Father, as we enter into this time of worship, we ask Holy Spirit, that you sit with us. Lord, next steps can be hard sometimes, so just pray a blessing of your peace upon us today. That in these spaces where we deal with pain, trauma, and grief, Lord, where others have hurt us, that your hand will be upon them. Be upon those moments, be upon that pain. And Lord, hold that for us when we can't hold it for ourselves. Father, we surrender our lives as people who are seeking to be more like you. Continue to help us to live lives that are full of forgiveness. And as people see us as a community of forgiving people, may they know the glory, the strength, and your majesty shining through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.